Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome to the show today. If you've been following us, you'll know that we've been studying the first great missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. He and Barnabas have been traveling through many cities, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And God, of course, performs many miraculous signs through them to confirm his message. Now, some people are receptive to that message, some even eager and ready to accept and follow Jesus Christ, but others feel threatened and end up persecuting Paul and Barnabas. But here in chapter 14, when they come to the city of Lystra, they're met by the opposite extreme. Because Paul heals a crippled man who had never walked before. And the people are so taken aback by the sign that they conclude Paul and Barnabas must be gods. And so they seek to worship them. But Paul and Barnabas, in grief, begin telling the people that not only are they themselves not gods, but that their belief in these kinds of gods is futile. And that these people need to instead trust in the living God. Unlike their gods, Yahweh is the one who made the heaven and the earth, and the sea and all that is in them. And because he's the maker of all things, he is therefore the Lord of all things. Now, Paul and Barnabas, they continue in our passage today, saying, in past generations, he, God, allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness. For he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Now, Paul and Barnabas, they know that many of the people there do not know the Old Testament or the fundamental tenets of the Jewish faith. And so they start with what the people do know and are able to recognize for themselves. They start with the rains and the seasons, which they point out are evidence of the goodness of God who provides the world with what it needs to survive. And what Paul and Barnabas are pointing the people to here is what is known as the natural revelation of God. The things anyone can come to understand about him just by looking at the natural world we live in. And Paul and Barnabas, they zero in on the fact that God never leaves people without evidence of his existence and his loving kindness. Later, Paul would write further on this in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, saying that the evidence in nature is so strong that people are really without excuse for not believing. There is abundant evidence all around us, more than ever before. We just need to open our eyes. Now, despite Paul and Barnabas' words, it says in verse 18 and following, even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. Now, here is where things again take a turn for the worse, as Jewish leaders come to oppose Paul and Barnabas. It says, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Now, unfortunately, this passage offers us a very realistic look at human nature, how fickle we can be at times. Here, you know, it didn't matter what the people had seen. The voice of persuasion from the Jewish leaders, it was stronger. And you know, the same is true today. Sometimes people can be so wrapped up in a political party or a news network, or what some false teacher is telling them, that they can literally be convinced to look away from the evidence that's right before their eyes. It's scary, but it happens all the time. And it happened here. The people of Lystra, though they had just thought that Paul and Barnabas were gods, and therefore sought to worship and offer sacrifices to them, they now stone Paul and leave him for dead. And what you and I learn from this is that though we might feel good when people approve of us and affirm us, we need to be careful not to allow that desire for approval to cloud our reasoning or affect our decisions. We're not to be about pleasing the crowds, but are to seek to be like Jesus, no matter what anybody else thinks. Our faith and trust needs to be in Him and Him alone, because unlike people, God never changes, as James 1:17 reminds us. Now it says in verse 20, "But when the disciples gathered about him," meaning Paul, "he rose up and entered the city." And this just shows how persistent Paul and Barnabas were in preaching the good news of Jesus. They counted the cost and they thought that it was worth the persecution, it was worth the pain to obey Jesus Christ. And think about it, they had just escaped being stoned in Iconium. But here the Jews from Pisidian Antioch and Iconium, they track Paul down and they stone him to the point where he nearly dies. And yet he gets right back up, he goes into the city to continue preaching the gospel. And I just think, what an incredible amount of commitment he had. But that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You and I, we have to be totally committed to him. Our lives are his. And we ought to be willing to lay them down in a heartbeat if he calls us to. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Now, that's remarkable because we discover from this passage that this wasn't just a concept that Paul casually preached about in his sermons. No, this was something he lived. He glorified God in his body, often suffering in ways that Jesus had suffered. And he calls us to do the same. Now it says of Paul in verse 20 and following, "And on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." And so we see that Paul and Barnabas, they return to the cities in which they've just been threatened and physically attacked. And they do that in order to visit the new believers. Now that may sound foolish to us, but they knew that these new Christians, they didn't have anybody to mentor, to disciple, to help establish them in their faith. And so Paul and Barnabas, they return to strengthen them, to build them up, to establish leadership in those churches. Leadership that can help lead them and help them to grow in their faith. And what we learn from that is that no matter how uncomfortable or how inconvenient it may seem to spend time with new believers, mentoring and discipling them, that's what we're called to do. And that's because people need more than just initial salvation. No, they need to be taught how to actually follow Jesus Christ. And every one of us has the responsibility to try to help that to happen in the lives of new believers. Now, Paul and Barnabas, they center their focus on raising up church leaders. And that's because when a church has Spirit-led leaders, laypersons, pastors, that church will grow. And that's why we need to pray that our church leaders might also be filled with the Holy Spirit and might be able to raise up others like themselves who can continue the work of ministry. But also, you know, if God nudges you to enter into a leadership role in your church, you need to humbly be willing to accept that responsibility. Now it says in verse 24 and following, "Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them, and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples." Now that must have been a wonderful time of celebration. I mean, there's nothing better than celebrating the salvation of those that you helped lead to Jesus Christ. But you know, in reflecting on this passage, I wonder, are we just as burdened in our hearts for those who do not know Jesus Christ? Do you and I, do we so desire them to be saved that we're willing to endure any kind of suffering in order that they might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus? You know, I only ever got to hear my late grandfather preach one time in person during his life. I've heard him preach on tape before, but only one time in person. I remember he was in a church setting, and there was a special missionary banquet. And I remember him having been a missionary in Taiwan, Singapore, Malaysia, and China. I remember him sharing a message with that church's congregation. And I was very young at the time. I don't remember the entirety of this message. But I do remember that as he began talking about how there are people in the world who are lost, people he had been striving all of his life to reach with the gospel, his eyes began to well up with tears. He knew that every day people were slipping into an eternity without Jesus. And he, like Paul and Barnabas, anguished over that. I remember his anguish. I remember his love for the lost, his desire to reach them in any way that he could, even in very difficult circumstances, dark circumstances. You know, one time he was ministering to a tribe that 30 years prior had murdered people brutally, until that tribe was colonized by the British. And he was in the large room where he was going to sleep that night. And as he was laying down to sleep, he looked up at the ceiling, and there, hanging from that ceiling, were the severed and shrunken heads of a few of the numerous people that this tribe had killed only a few decades before. Now, talk about looking into the face of somebody's spiritual problem. But you know, as scary as that was for him, scary enough to drive many people away, I mean, I would have been running for the hills. That wasn't his greatest fear. His greatest fear was people from that tribe never knowing about Jesus. And it was that sense of urgency that was the driving force of his life. Is that the driving force of our lives? Do you and I, do we have a healthy sense of anguish for those who do not know Jesus? Robert Moffat, who inspired David Livingstone, he once said, "In the vast plain to the north, I have sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been." William Carey, pioneer missionary to India, he said, "To know the will of God, we need an open Bible and an open map." Hudson Taylor once said, "If I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all for China." He also said, "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed." Oswald J. Smith, he once said, "Any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist." Wow, what a powerful statement. And in light of that, are you and I, are we taking the fulfillment of Christ's Great Commission seriously enough? Are we bathing the lost with prayer every day? Are we following the spiritual needs of other countries and remaining open to God possibly even calling us to do something about it? If not, we need to be. And so let us this week commit to be God's instruments through which the world might come to know Him. Let's do so Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.